Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is actually your one-hour inspirational programming, a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which are all components of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. We are so happy that you all took time out of your schedule tonight to be with us, and we're coming to you tonight with a very powerful spiritual show that's actually a continuation from last week's Friday night show, part two. It was so interesting last week that the producers, of course, announced that they wanted to go ahead and do a part two. And we'll be on here. I'll be your host and facilitator, and I'll be joined by hopefully two of my co-hosts, and we're going to be introducing a new co-host as well tonight, which will give us a third co-host on tonight's broadcast. We're on here for 90 minutes, actually, because we combine the shows with having somewhat of a Bible study discussion, and it basically just ties right in. You won't even always feel the transition, and it happens rather smoothly. So we're very excited tonight. Tonight's topic is, do we often or ever need reminders to be Christ-like? And so I'm going to go ahead and invite the Lord into our programming tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you for all of your blessings, the blessings of life, health, and strength, and the blessings to comprehend things, the blessings to agree to disagree. We thank you for all of that, Lord, and we ask that you will continue to be with us throughout each and every day and be with our programming tonight. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen, amen, amen. All right, we're waiting for our other co-host to press one, and we'll certainly be ready to go. We're just waiting for her to press one, and we're going to go in. Yes, there she just did. Okay, now I want to go ahead and say hello to Lady Love and welcome her in. Lady Love, good evening, and I certainly trust that you've had a very a pleasant week this week, and it wasn't too tiring for you.
Welcome. Well, thank you, Dr. Walker. Yes, I did have a pleasant week. Yes, I'm very tired, but God bless me that I can get up every day and continue moving forward. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much. I'm excited about the show.
Excellent. Let me go ahead and bring in my other co-host. Ms. Monica, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. I'm excited also to have you on with us tonight, and we're looking forward to your contribution.
Absolutely. I want to join with you and Lady Love to say thank God for taking us safely through another week, and I'm so excited to be on the program tonight. I was blessed to come on and catch the prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. We are so grateful for that. We're always grateful for your contributions. All right. We've got a new party that's going to be joining us tonight. Her name is Chantrell Warner, and she's going to be joining us. She is powerful. She has a lot to bring to the show, and I'm excited to have her to be a new member of our team, and I want to just go ahead and welcome her at this time. She's Chantrell Warner, a.k.a. now Lady C, And so I want to just, Lady C now, Chantrell Warner, a.k.a. now Lady C. Lady C, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm glad to be joining you guys, you know. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Excellent. Lady, go ahead. Continue, Lady C.
I just said I wanted to say thank you for inviting me to be a part of your show.
Excellent. We're certainly looking forward to your contribution as well. Lady Love, why don't you go ahead and welcome her, and then followed by Ms. Monica. Go ahead and welcome her as well.
Well, welcome, Ms. Chantrell, Lady C. We're excited to have you. We're looking forward to what you bring to the program. Hello, Ms. Monica. It's nice to see you on the show tonight as well. But Lady C, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Ms. Monica?
Yes, I also want to take this opportunity to welcome you, Lady C, to this great dynamic character building experience show every week. And we know we're going to have a great time with you on our team. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Excellent.
So now we're going to get right to it. We've had our prayer. We've had our introductions. And we're going to get right into it. And for our listening audience out there, although this is a spiritual show, you may find that there's a sense of humor in the show, because I believe personally that God has a sense of humor. And once a lady told me that, you know, men are so frustrating that God had to have a sense of humor because he made men. So I'm still trying to understand that one. Lady Love, perhaps later you can help me understand that. She said God must have had a sense of humor because he made man. She wasn't talking about man and woman. She was talking about man. So I'm taking that he didn't get it right until he made the woman. So maybe you all can help me to figure that one out, because she said that men are so frustrating. So it was in the context of how she said that. So you will find on our spiritual program, although it's spiritual, we do have, there's humor with it, there's educational purposes, there's information that we all share with each other. We're not trying to persuade anyone in any direction in terms of religion. We just ask you to just listen to the information and educational stuff that we present, and you decide on whatever it is you want. My purpose here is just to have a great time in the Lord. That's all that I want to be. Lady Love, I mean, is it anything else that I may have missed?
No, Dr. Walker, you hit it right on his head. This is an awesome show. It's exciting and fun.
Okay. Ms. Monica, did I miss anything in your opinion, your thoughts?
You both are absolutely right. I'm telling you, it's a blessing that I get my laugh for the week, and it really keeps me on my way.
Okay, awesome. Tonight's topic is, do we often or ever need reminders to be Christ-like? You know, when I first think about that, and if you all want to speak to the issue tonight, make sure you press 1 to go into the queue so that we can know that you're there and you have an opportunity to speak. When I think about being Christ-like, I mean, you know, Lady Love, let me start out with you. Should we have to be reminded to be Christ-like? And then we've got a number of scenarios that we're going to present tonight. I mean, when somebody cuts you off in traffic and you're ready to curse them out, well, maybe not you, but maybe me, I mean, what will trigger me to be Christ-like?
Well, Dr. Walker, it is true that sometimes we have to be reminded to be Christ-like, because we're human. We are of the flesh. Sometimes we let our anger get the best of us. And there's times when someone has to tell you, no, don't say that, don't do that, that's not right, and remind you why it's not right. So, yes, we need to be reminded at times, yes.
All right, that's interesting. Lady C, let me bring you in. Lady C, what if there's nobody in the car with me, and this you know, God, you know, helping us out here. This idiot cuts me off, and you know, you all pardon me. I use that word almost every day when I'm driving. And I, you know, there's nobody to remind me, oh, you shouldn't be calling people idiots. But it just comes out. So, ladies, see, if there's nobody to remind me in the car when I'm driving and someone cuts me off and I, you know, I don't pull up to them and, of course, call them an idiot. But I'm saying, this idiot, I mean, am I not Christ-like, Lady C? I mean, I'm human.
I mean, you're acting out of anger. You're acting out of rage. So you got to look within yourself and realize how, you know, you're going to react to things. You know, calling somebody an idiot is very offensive, in my opinion, you know.
Right.
So sometimes when it comes to, like, you know, having to remind yourself or having to be, you know, I'm just trying to think about how I'm going to put this. To be reminded on how to be Christ, like, you have to ask yourself, talk to yourself, do a lot of talking within yourself in regards to being reminded on how to be Christ-like. Because you can't react on everything.
I know, you're right, but it's just like sometimes, okay, come on, Lady C, now. We on the show, we keep it real. Even though it's a spiritual show, we keep it real. Lady C, have you ever, you know, called anybody an idiot and thought about it later? Or you said worse?
Oh, I mean, I've called someone an idiot, you know?
Right.
You know, because, I mean, I am the type of person that does have road rage. But sometimes I have to check myself and realize, okay, listen, you're yelling and the person can't even hear you. So what are you arguing and yelling for? So I look at myself like, girl, you the idiot in your car yelling and nobody can hear you.
You know, and Lady C, I have to revert back to that too, because it's like, I dare not drive up to them and catch up with them and call them and say, you idiot, do you realize you just cut me off? And then, because they may pull out a gun. Then, you know, I turn around and be the idiot, but dead. Isn't that something? So you're right. So now, Ms. Monica, let me bring you in here, and we're going to go to the phone lines in a moment. How can I become better? You know, should I just not drive, maybe?
Dr. Walker, I'm always touched whenever time I hear you use the expression, help me, Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Every time you say it, I'm always just, yes. And
yes.
That's exactly a point which I'm trying to reach in my life, that when I'm frustrated, when I'm provoked, when I'm annoyed, when I feel like, you know, like the world is caving on me, I will call upon the Lord so that His Spirit can help me to you know, make better decisions, to say words that will uplift God and draw me closer to Him.
Okay, so we're going to actually stand by. We're going to go to phone lines in just a moment. This studio, I just want to remind you all, it picks up every sound, every background sound that anyone makes. So if you're touching something, the studio picks up all of those sounds. So we're going to ask that you be mindful of that. So now, you know, the question is, you know, I mean, when it's time for me to kind of go to church or to preach sometimes, I'm more inclined to seem like I'm holy, you know, and I'm using myself tonight as an example. I mean, I'm just going to be real and keep it human, you know. So I'm more inclined to feel, you know, holy because it's time to go to church. But sometimes on the way to church, somebody gets in and crosses my path, and it's like you just it's like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. I mean, Lady C, sometimes it's just hard to maintain that. What do you do, Lady C? Have you not ever called, you said, Lady C, we're going to go to Lady Love. Hold on 1 second. Go to Lady Love. Lady Love, have you ever called someone an idiot or worse? Lady Love? Lady Love, you might have us on mute. Okay, we're going to go back. Let's switch over to, let's go to the phone lines one moment. Let's go to 305-773. 305-773. Who do we have on the air and welcome?
It's Miss Ann.
Miss Ann, thank you for joining us, Miss Ann. Miss Ann, have you ever called anyone an idiot?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say I have. I'm terrible on the road. My excuse is that they can't hear me, so I use the opportunity to get all my words out and whatever else it is. You know, as I was listening to everyone, I can relate to everything that everyone is saying. And the thought came to me when you asked the question, how do we control that? You know, because we're talking about, do we need to be reminded to be Christ-like? And when you asked that question, I immediately said to myself, oh, yeah, all day, every day, I need reminders to be Christ-like. And the question was, well, how do we remind ourselves of something like that? You know, in a situation like where you're in traffic and somebody cuts you off. And the thought came to me that this is why we need to, and I'm not saying it's because I'm perfect with it, because I'm far from that, far, far, far. But this is why we need to have a regular prayer time and just allow the Holy Spirit, if you will, to just fortify us. And I believe, you know, if we do that, in those times when we kind of lose it, the right thoughts will come to us to calm us down. Maybe not every time, but maybe enough times that we can maintain a decent kind of spiritual mindset.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Ann. We're going to ask you to stand by. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, do we often or ever need reminders of being Christ-like? And let's start. We want to hear from you all. Press 1. Tell us what you think of if we need reminders. And let me go here and bring in Monica. Let me just ask you, what does it mean to be Christ-like? Maybe we need to, I mean, I want to kind of start there. What does that mean to be Christ-like?
There's a very familiar and special scripture that stands out every time. It says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And what would Jesus do? What did Jesus do when he was tempted? The scripture said he was tempted in all points, yet as we are, yet without sin. So to be Christ-like is to follow in the footsteps. Like the caller just beautifully said it, you know, we need to have a devotional experience with Christ every day, because that's the only way that mind, which was in Christ Jesus, will be in us, that when we are provoked, we will not curse or swear. Because remember, temptation is not sin. It's yielding to temptation that is sin.
Right. But, and we know that Christ did strive of being the man, praying yourself. Horses or donkeys didn't walk on them like we probably look at it today. So being Christ-like is to be Christ-like.
Dr. Walker, you're breaking up really badly. I can't.
Okay,
I can't.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Much better.
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Thank you for that. I don't know. This studio is challenging. So anyway, Christ didn't drive a car, and he wasn't subject, because we asked the question, what would Christ do? Even in these times, I guess we've got to ask that. Lady Love, I mean, what does being Christ-like to you mean, Lady Love?
Can you hear me, Dr. Walker?
I can hear you now.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
So to me, to be Christ-like is to be humble and not to be boastful. but to always be patient, loving, and kind. And when someone comes across you who is not like that, to not be offended.
Okay, so have a humble spirit. All right, let me bring Lady C in and ask you that same question. What does being Christ-like to you mean? What does that mean to you, to be Christ-like?
I agree with Lady Love. It's remaining humble in times of trouble, patient, and always understand when someone's anger or towards you is not always about you, it's about something else. So keeping your mind humble. Just remain humble, pretty much.
And see, the challenge, I think, becomes when because we're human and certain things happen to us as humans, and I think we react more as humans because we, at the time, we may not think about being Christ-like. We're acting like humans. And I'm not trying to say that that's an excuse or justify it, but it's almost like that's our nature. All right, case in point. Lady Love, this is for you. You're new, so we have to dump everything on you when you first come on. So here it is. Lady Love, assuming that you have children. You have children?
No, that's Lady C, Dr. Walker.
Lady C. Oh, I'm
Thank
sorry.
You,
Lady Love, we dumped on you before. Lady C. She made that perfectly clear. Lady C, yes. Lady C. We dump on you when you first come on. Lady Love, thank you for that. Okay, so Lady C, assuming that you have children, is that you have children?
I have children.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
I have children.
Okay, Lady C, let's just say all of a sudden now one of your kids running home. Let's say they're in elementary school, middle school, high school. It doesn't matter. But they're running home, and your best friend, which is a neighbor, lives across the street from you, right? And your daughter's running home or your son is running home. Mama, 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 mama. You hear them from the kitchen, and you run out there. By the time the door is locked, right? So they can't get in the house. So your neighbor, which is your best friend, is now pounding on your daughter's head or your son's head, beating the daylights out of them because they did something. Now, Lady C, you're this super Christian. Are you going to come out and say, let's pray? Let's call your neighbor. Let's call your neighbor Joyce, right? Joyce, what are you doing hitting my child upside his head like he done stole something from the bank? You know, are you going to do that, Lady C? How are you going to handle that as a Christian?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think my humbleness will be all out the window, because if I see her beating my child in the head, I think I'm going to beat her. I'm going to just beat her, and then I'm going to ask questions later, because I would need to know why you're hitting my child first, you know?
See, that, you know what? And that's keeping it real. And I think every parent would probably do the same thing, because – and I bring that up because I mentioned in part one, that's exactly what my own mom did. My little brother was bad he was really bad. I mean, he just got into everything, and he was only in elementary school. And he was always in some kind of trouble. And one day, my mother's best friend lived across the street, and he's running to the house, mama, 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 mama. And the door was locked. And by the time my mother opened the door, her best friend was beating on the top of my brother's head, you know, just beating him like he stole something from the bank. And so my mother didn't even ask. She just started beating that woman down. Two of us had to take her off of her best friend. So that's the reality. So now my question becomes, and it is, where's the Christ-likeness in that? Let me stay with you, Lady C. Where's the Christ-likeness in that? And I'm not bashing my mom, you know, no, not at all. But she was being human. Is that being Christ-like?
I mean, it's not being Christ-like. I mean, that's me allowing my anger to take over, you know. Instead of me trying to figure out what happened, all I'm thinking about is this lady hitting my child. So
right.
No, that's not being Christ-like. I may have to pray about it later, but that's not being Christ-like.
You know? And I agree with you. I agree with you. That is what that our natural reactions take place, I believe, first. And then, you know, we think about, okay, what just happened? You know, I mean, come on, come on. Miss Monica, let me bring you in here. And before we go to the phone lines once again, I got to ask this question to you. Do you, you say, what would Jesus do? Are you going to stand up there, assuming that you have kids, are you going to wonder what would Jesus do in a case like this? And before, you know, you react to the woman beating the heck out of your child?
I am only human. I'm just a mother. But I would pray, because out of the abundance of our hearts, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I would pray, you know, that I would handle that situation in a Christ-like manner. Because to be like Christ is to be like God. To be like Christ, you must first trust in him. So every day, man, I'm trying to build. You see, that's why I really love this. I thank God for this weekly program because it really helps me each day to take things into consideration, you know, because really the whole world right now should be thriving to be like Christ. So I would just pray that when my time of testing come, you know, that I will represent Christ. It's my prayer. It's my earnest prayer.
Right. While you're praying about it, I'm just asking this question, I'm just humbly asking. I mean, how likely is it that you're going to stand there and your child is getting the heck beat out of them by some adult woman? A woman would fight a man over her child. So I'm just asking, you're praying for that, but you're hoping not to be tested with that. But if you were, would you stand and say, well, Jesus, what would you do in this case like this?
Dr. Walker, I'm just a woman. I'm just a mother, you know. I honestly pray. I'm just being honest because this is my show, by the way, because this is an experience which I have been praying for a while
right.
Now, to be more like Christ, you know, to handle situations. But I'm telling you the truth, God help us, we're only human, especially
right.
Only mothers.
I think you've already spoken to it. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got some callers that are calling in, and we've got some more scenarios to put out there to you all. We're going to go to 856-316, followed by 954-682. Let's go to 856-316 first. Welcome to our program tonight. Who do we have with us?
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah. Hi, Dr. Walker.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you for joining us. Deborah, just talk to me, Deborah. I mean, I'm trying to be more like Christ, and maybe I need to stop calling people idiots when I'm driving. How do you manage? Do you call anybody an idiot? And then secondly, if somebody's beating your child, assuming that you have children, would you pray about it first or ask them to stop and let's pray about this matter?
and of course I've called people idiot. I'm sure some people don't call me an idiot. But, you know, it goes with the territory.
Right.
But,
right.
I do have to be reminded daily that, you know, I have to be Christ-like. I mean, there's things that come to my mind. I tell you, sometimes I have to shake my own head. So, yeah, the Holy Spirit convicts me and say, you know what, you shouldn't have thought about that. But I'm reminded of a verse in Romans 7. Where it says, for I know that in me, that is in the flesh, we're talking about the flesh, and I know
right.
People, you know, you heard some people say I'm only human, but we're talking about the flesh. We'll be in the flesh. It dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So
right.
Now if I do that, I would not. It is more I I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. So, of course, that's on a daily basis. We're walking in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit comes in and say, you know what, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't do that. And then you do. You're convicted, and you think about it. But that's a daily walk. That's a daily walk with Christ. We're not perfect.
Right.
I'm far from it. Long ways.
Right.
I'm taking on and taking off daily. So.
Well,
absolutely.
I mean, even with our bosses, sometimes we have challenges, and God knows. I mean, he had to work with me for years, and, you know, and my mother prophesied that I would be a preacher, and I used to tell her when I was 5, 6, and 7, Mama, I don't want to be a preacher. Call me Angel Boy. And of 6 sons, I'm like, why she chose me? Tell me I'm going to be the preacher. Why can't some of them be the preacher? Because I just thought preachers were perfect. And then as I got older and I read in the Bible, the people that God called, you know, that he actually chose, I'm like, these are some bad people. I mean, well, you know what I mean. They did some bad things. I'm like, David, and he said David was a man after his own heart. So, I mean, all throughout life, it was like, man, this is a challenge. And I mean, it's like I had a temperament, and it's like I didn't know how to back down. I grew up in the hood, and so you don't back down from anybody, and you just didn't. But it wasn't until my mother's car accident, that she was killed in a car accident, that all my life I was like going through a maze, and then I ultimately ended up becoming a licensed ordained minister, and it brought me pleasure, but I really discovered that it didn't mean perfection. It did not mean perfection. So I say that to say this here. And Deborah, let me bring this one to you before we go to 954-682. Does it mean that God expects us to be perfect when we were created in his image? Does he expect us to be perfect? When even our foreparents, which was Adam and Eve, were there with him and they weren't even perfect. Or was it?
If God intended for us to be perfect, there would have been no need for Jesus to come down and die for our sins. If he expected us to be perfect, there wouldn't have been a need for Jesus. So, no, he knows we're not perfect. We're far from being perfect.
But does
you know,
he expect
I like the fact
us to be
that
perfect?
He expect us to love him and to worship him, and to follow him. He don't expect us to be perfect, but he says that, you know, he's with us. And so it says, and he sent us the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead us to all truth. So when we do something wrong, the Holy Spirit lets us know that we've done something. And if he expect us to be perfect, we wouldn't need the Comforter to come down that tells us or that's with us to let us know, no, that's not Christ-like. So I don't think I don't feel like he, because I know I'm not perfect, so I don't feel that God expects us to be perfect. No.
All right.
Long shot.
Monica,
perfection won't come until we get that, until we see him. That's when we'll have perfection.
All right. Let me bring Monica in. Monica, I'm going to bring you in just a second, and I'm going to ask you and Lady Love both. To give me the scripture, because there's a scripture in the Bible that says, be ye also perfect as your Father. And I want you all to be able to give me that scripture when I come back. You're listening live to your one-hour inspirational programming. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, is do we often or ever need reminders of being Christ-like? This is part two. Let's go to 954-682. 954-682. You're live. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Good evening, Dr. Walker and everyone. This is
good evening,
Pastor Howard. This is Pastor Howard.
Pastor Howard, thank you for joining us this evening. Pastor Howard, I want to ask that same question to you. Does God expect us to be perfect when our foreparents, Adam and Eve, were they perfect and they messed up right there in the garden and they had everything, including God?
No, I don't think he expects us to be perfect. Just like the other speaker said, you know, if we could be perfect or perfected here, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. So He doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he want us to press towards perfection. That means don't stay where you are. Don't just get comfortable making mistakes or going the wrong way. At least try, you know. There's a test here. At least study a little bit or come to the class, you know. Show up at least if there first be a willing mind, you know. That's
okay.
All he asks. If there first be a willing mind to do something, to be perfect or to expect perfection, he'll work with you.
Okay, Pastor, we're going to ask you to stand by. I like how you put that. At least try. Okay, so let me go here. Monica, let me bring you in. You have that scripture for us tonight, and then followed by Lady Love and Lady C. We're going to bring you in momentarily.
I had it way before you asked, Dr. Walker, because that one really jumped out at me.
No, it would.
One of my favorite, again, Matthew 5, verse 48, and I wanted to answer respectfully, you know. We are called to perfection. It's a command that we should be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. So, yes, you're not going to flip in. That's why, see, we have to thrive to be like Christ daily. It has to be our desire, our passion. And that's why when, you know, things happen unexpectedly, you know, we would not easily call people names, you know, you whatever. But, you know, something Christ-like would come out of our mouth. And, oh, you know, when we're tempted to do wrong, we would represent Christ so much. And that's why we need to study his word daily, because his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Excellent way to put it. Lady Love, let me bring you in before we bring Lady C in, and then we'll go back to Ann. Lady Love, did you have anything you wanted to contribute to that? Because, I mean, I need to know now, how do you define perfection? I mean, how do you define, and Pastor Howard, we're going to bring you that question as well. How do you define perfection, Lady Love? I mean, to be perfect. I mean, I was no angel boy, even though my mother called me an angel boy, and I ultimately became a preacher, and it's like, I'm still not perfect. So at my age, I'm wondering, will I ever reach perfection? Lady Love, help me understand what is perfection? How do you define that?
Well, Dr. Walker, I define perfection as knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge. Job 36:4. Be assured that my words are not false. One who has perfect knowledge is with you. So knowledge is key. You know, if you cut somebody out or hit them, you're going to jail. God gave you knowledge to not do that. So ask yourself, is the orange the new black? I don't think so.
Okay, Lady Love, I gotta ask you this one. Growing up as a child, and you have kids, right? Now, Lady Love, and we try to keep it real on this show. It's spiritual, but we keep it real. Because, you know, there's that human element. I recognize the spiritual element as well. But, so Lady Love, as gentle and humble as you are, and I know you to be, when your children were growing up, if one of your kids came home and said, Mama, this boy hit me, or this girl hit me, and as a girl, boy, you know, we're not encouraging boys to hit girls at all. That's totally against my law. So now, if your daughter comes home and she says, Mama, this girl hit me, Lady Love, what, if anything, have you ever told your daughter? I mean, we're just trying to keep it real. I'm simply asking the question.
Dr. Walker, I'm going to keep it real. First of all, again, I would ask my daughter, what happened? Give me the whole story, because if I have to go down there, I don't want to look like a fool, so tell me everything. So once she tells me everything, then I can make a decision on what to tell her, because I don't want anyone putting their hands on her, but I do want her to be able to defend herself.
Okay, so go ahead.
But in order to defend herself, again, I need the whole truth. I don't want her to go to jail, and I don't want to go to jail.
Mm-hmm. All right, she's in elementary school. She's in elementary school, and she comes on. She says, "Mama, I did nothing to this girl. She snatched my pencil out of my head, out of my hand, and she dared me to get my pencil. And then she pushed me, Mama. I didn't do anything to her. And then she slapped me, Mama." Now, what she told you the whole story. Now, Lady Love, you know, your daughter has a mark on her eye, a scratch on her face, her beautiful face. Now, Lady Love, what happens now?
And this is a true statement because that really did happen to my daughter. I went to the principal's office. It's fine. I went to the principal's office. I said, I need a meeting with this child's mother because we need to find out why she feels it's appropriate to put her hands on my child. And once that happened, you know, we got to the bottom of it. I don't condone fighting. I don't condone putting your hands on somebody. We need to know why your child is being a bully. And, again, peace, Dr. Walker. You got to come with peace. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's the truth.
No. I do want to hear that. And, I mean, I just want to know if you went with peace at the time when you saw this mark on your daughter's face. I'm just asking.
You know, I did. I did because for something in my heart, God would not allow me to be angry. He would not allow me to be mad. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And when we got to the school and I met with the parents and come to find out, you know, the reason why the little girl was doing it was all out of jealousy. And we were able to handle the situation with love, kindness, because the child saw the parents being loving and kind. And it gave her something to look up to. Because if she saw me being bullied, she would have mimicked that behavior. So she was already mimicking it because she saw it on TV. And it wasn't even in the home. It was what she saw on TV and what other people were doing. But when she saw that I could talk to her parents with peace and love, she now understood that's how we conduct ourselves. And my daughter was so proud.
Wow, that's awesome. That's Lady C, I tell you, maybe I should have met you a long time ago because a situation like that happened with my son in elementary school, and the boy was bullying him, and he hit my son. And my son came home, and he told me the story, and I say I'm going to wait till I don't even know the people, right? But they lived in the neighborhood because all the community kids. I say I'm going to wait till that boy's father. Hopefully his father is at the house because now, and I had on my sneakers. I'm just going to keep it real, you all. Help me, Holy Ghost. And we're talking about some years ago, and I went with my sneakers on and my jeans, and I was ready to fight his father. And I didn't even know the man. But I'm saying just in case, because I went there, I told my son, I said, I'm going to wait to see if we're going to go to their house. And I knocked on the door, and this time the man came to the door, and I say, are you the father of such and such? He says, yes. I say, well, listen, I'm here. Your son hit my son, and my son didn't fight him back. You know, and I said, and I don't understand that part because I told him if somebody hits you, you hit them back, but harder. But my son didn't hit him. And so I say, now I'm coming to you as a man of man. And my voice was a little harsh because I was angry. And so I said, now I'm expecting you as a father, as a man to man, that you deal with your son. I say, if you can't deal with him, then you and I are going to have to deal with each other. You know, and I'm not going to attack the little boy, but I'm going to go after his father if he don't deal with his child. And that was probably the wrong attitude, and that's why being Christ-like is so important. And I like what you all were saying because perfection, it's a journey. It's a journey. I mean, that man could have went in there. I'm at his house, outside his door. But if I'm coming across as an assault or threatening, providing imminent threat, that man could have gotten his gun and then I'm at his house. He could have invited me in and then shot me. Lady C, let me go to you. And Pastor Howell, we're going to come to you momentarily. But Lady C, I got to bring you in here and ask, I mean, let's take the same scenario with one of your children. You know, somebody puts their hand on your child, didn't fight back. You don't understand that. But what have you told your children? If somebody
I can't say that one of my children weren't in that situation because they were. I had my oldest daughter had four kids to jump her at one time, you know, when she was only in fourth grade. But when it first started, my daughter used to come home complaining to me about one child. So I would actually, and it was a child on our bus, I would tell her, you know what, talk to the bus driver so we could see how to, you know, how he can handle the situation. Of course, the bus driver spoke to the child. Then that one child turned into two children. Then my daughter came back telling me about these two children. So I wrote a letter to the bus driver humbly and said, hey, can you move her behind you or allow her to sit with her little sister? Bus driver did. He allowed her to sit. Now, all of a sudden, four kids started bullying my child. Now, I had to take it upon myself and say, listen, this ain't going to happen. If they hit you, you hit them back. You hit them. Because in order to stop a bully, you gotta attack them. You know? My daughter did.
I understand.
You know? My daughter attacked the bully. She attacked all of them at one time.
Right.
And I ended up getting called to the principal office. And they wanted to call themselves, wanted to talk about my child and say what she did wrong. The first thing I said was pull the videotape because I needed to see what was really happening because I already made multiple complaints and they had all of them there. Needless to say, my child was not suspended or anything, and those bullies did not bother her again.
Amen. Amen. Oh, God help me, Holy Ghost. But amen. So, Pastor Howard, let's bring you in. You know, and maybe after the show, you and I will pray together about, you know, me being better. But I see the real thing. I really do. And now, Pastor Howard, in your opinion, is that being so bad that the mother, you know, that a mother would tell her children to defend themselves? Is that wrong? And have you ever had to experience anything like that yourself with your children?
No, that's not wrong. That's the right thing to do. The child is supposed to receive the teachings from the home. The home is supposed to, the teaching is, should be balanced. Teach them how to be straight. You got to teach them how to be a little straight. I'm sorry.
Are you saying, wait a minute, Pastor Howard. You got me and you on here as pastors, and both of us are sounding bad. Did you say you got to teach them how to be straight?
No, you know what I mean. Defend them.
I got four kids, and I sure enough had to teach them how to be a little street. And you know what? Help me, Holy Ghost, or more. And that's what you're saying. You got to teach them how to be a little street, right?
Yeah, just talking to them and telling them, look, you have to defend yourself. If someone hits you, you got to do it in a way. You give them all the angles. Okay, you complain about it to the teacher. If she doesn't do anything, you make sure you tell me. But then we'll take it higher. And if they don't do anything about it, okay, let me tell you what you need to do. The next time the enemy dish out this, you dish out that. You give it back to them and see if they like it. But then you teach them the principles of why it's better to do things the right way, because you avoid a lot. I'm just saying to make sure as you give them the word, make sure you give them what's really going on in reality so that they're not misled.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
I had something that happened like that with my youngest son a long time ago. He had a friend die that was, they were in elementary at the time. Now, I know I saw this little boy playing with my son for a few weeks, and they in the same class. Well, one day they came home, and it was a group of kids, and it seemed like it was getting ready to be a fight instigated, and it come to find out it was my son and the little boy that was visiting him playing with him. I was so upset, but you know, when you're trying to live by the principles of God and trying to do what's right, the Spirit will quicken you. And it quickened me, and I said, get in the car. No, not all my words were straight, to be honest with you. But I didn't say a lot of, I said one curse word because I was so hurt and upset.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You were just playing, and I said it in front of the whole gang following them. I said, you were just here playing with my son.
And I told him to get in the car. I drove home. I drove him around the corner to his mom. I thought it was his mom, but his mom was working and his dad was home. So his dad came out, and I explained to the dad what happened. And the dad, you know, and me and my son, we got in the car and left. So next thing you know, years later, I forgot about everything, but everything worked out. But years later, my son said, "Mom, you remember such and such?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." They turned out to be best friends up until they're grown right now this day. So it was me handling it in the way of going to the – that's all I knew to do. When back in the days, when children in the neighborhood fought, the one parent would take each child who fought to the parent. And we would work this thing out and make sure they understand, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that's all I knew to do was go to the parent and tell them, look, that he was just at my house.
Wow.
You know, they were playing. And everything worked out. But I left it alone because nothing came of it. And all of a sudden, years later, my son says, "Mom, you remember such and such? Oh, he just come from college, you know, blah, blah, blah."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Y'all were friends all this time?" He said, "Yeah."
Mm-hmm.
So they remained friends. So that was my experience.
Right. You know, and that's amazing. You know, we talk about perfection. You know, do we often or ever need reminders of being Christ-like? And I believe that we do, but we need to have something that triggers us. It needs to be within us. And I remember I was no angel boy growing up. And even though my mother always prophesied, "This is my angel boy," I didn't even like her calling me that. And but she did, you know, and that's mom. So, you know, and then I ultimately became a preacher. But I, you know, route to that, you know, we play sports, and sports brings a lot of competition. And sometimes that playing sports can also bring temperament unless you learn how to control it. So, you know, I have six brothers, and so we played sports. And I discovered that, I mean, sometimes we had block sports where, okay, our block played another block. And oftentimes if you get beat down so bad in the score, whether it was basketball or football, then the boys want to fight. You know, that's how it was with me growing up. If we go to this other block to play them, our boys are going over there to play them. And if we beat them so bad or they beat us so bad, it's like we're bound to fight. And so what happened was we got into so many fights, and I used to love having fights. And it, until they put us, they had a school bus, a yellow school bus. The community put this together because I grew up in the projects. And so they had a school bus pick us up and take us to a boxing gym. And I developed my skills, and then I learned martial arts as well. And it was like God placed me somewhere to channel all of that energy, because I did like fighting, and I was going to turn pro and fight with Sugar Ray Leonard, but my mom asked me not to turn pro. She made me promise her that but I used to love to fight. And I mean, you know, so, and God has brought me a mighty long ways, and I'm sure. And so en route to that journey, I don't think we just wake up and we're perfect if we ever become perfect. And I don't think God has an expectation. I do believe that he expects us to like Monica said, get into the word. And I believe, and I did get into the word a lot, you know, and it was like that behavior was there, but it takes time to understand that. Lady C, let me bring you in, then we're going to go to Ann. Lady C, do you think that is a journey? Do you believe that it's that if we ever can get to perfection, whatever that is, that it's also a journey? We don't just wake up and be that way?
To be honest with you, there's no perfection. No one can be perfect when it comes to serving God. Nobody. We are not born perfect, you know?
Right.
But God gives us the knowledge on how to act in the way that he wants us to act. You know, we're going to make mistakes every day. But our alignment has to be between us and God, you know?
Right.
And we have to understand, you know, like, say if you're a person that, you know, love to club or love to drink, and you're trying to change your ways, you can't be, you can't actually go to no clubs. You can't, you got to stay away from all your little clubbing friends who like to go to clubs. All your friends who like to drink, you got to shy away from them, because the higher you go, your friends can't go with you. If you're trying to create change, you got to get rid of the things that trigger you. So but none of us are perfect.
I like that. I love what you're saying. I love what you're saying. We're going to take another scenario now. We are almost out of time. You only have about 35 minutes before the show comes to an end. It goes so fast. We're going to bring another scenario into play. And I want to give you this scenario. Let's just say, and this is hypothetical, doesn't mean that it's true, but, I mean, I have so many stories that are inspired by true events from over my years of therapy, being a therapist. And I want to present this one. Let's say Jack and Jill, let's call them Jack and Jill, been married for about 17 years, and Jack has a tendency, he's cheated before, and now he's, you know, Jill has forgiven him in her heart. It took a while, but she forgave him. And it's the same girl. Let's call her Susie. So Jack cheated with her like 8 years ago, and that was his love from the, you know, a blast from the past, you know. And now she's in that town. And every now and then, even though Jack has gone through some transition, he still can't get, it's like, it's hard. Love is hard, you all, sometimes, and it shouldn't be. But now he still has these feelings for Susie. And he loves his wife, but now his wife suspects something. So, Ann, let me ask you the question. Jack is lying to her that he's not seeing Susie when, in fact, he is. She's seen, she's followed him. She's even put a tracker on his car and seen his car parked in front of her house. So, I mean, should she just accept what he's doing, and this is her husband, and resort to just sharing him? And what are your thoughts on that? I mean, is that Christ-like?
Well, I think there are tons of levels to that. First of all, I think it depends on what the agreement is between the married couple. It sounds like there's an understanding that, you know, they are just for each other. It's not like an open relationship situation. So in that case, I think if she knows what he is doing and he's not saying anything about it, she should mention it to him.
Okay.
And from that point, they need to work it out. But I think
he's going to lie. He's going to lie straight up. He's going to lie and say, and there's nothing happening. So
right, but if,
go ahead.
Okay, if she knows he's lying, then she can tell him that she knows he's lying. Because if he is lying, okay, that's not good. But if she knows what's going on and she's not bringing it up to him, I don't know if that's good either. So they're both not being honest.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by, Ann, just for a second. Deborah, let me bring you in on that one. You know, with the scenario here, I mean, what is that being Christ-like, that she's being humble and knowing that her husband is lying to her? He's cheating with this woman. And she doesn't doubt that he loves her as his wife, but he's seeing this other woman. And I don't know any woman that would sign an agreement to say it's okay to share my husband. I'm just trying to figure this one out. So, Deborah, tell me what your thoughts are on this one. Is that being Christ-like? Does she have to be reminded?
Well, you lost me at sharing.
Okay.
That lost me at sharing my husband. That that ain't to share my husband, to say, okay, I'm gonna share my husband, is nothing like that. Ain't how, that don't have nothing to do with being Christ-like. That is because I'm not willing to share my husband being Christ-like.
But, you know, I think being Christ-like would probably be trying to work it out with my husband, like the caller said, let him know, I know you're lying. And this is, you know, and I'm going to try to work it out. And I just want to just tell you quickly a story. It's because my, and I don't think she mind me telling you because it's my best friend. But she, and her husband, her first husband actually was a minister, was a pastor. And and he was bisexual. And everybody tried to tell her that before she married him. But, you know, she didn't see it. And so he, on a wedding night, he didn't come home. And so he would do these things, and she would be like, okay, listen, if you can stop, I'll stay. If you just stop, let's work it out, stop, and I'll stay. But he wouldn't stop. He couldn't stop. So is it Christ? Is she not Christ-like because she got tired and said, okay, you know what? I can't handle this no more. And she left and divorced him. So, no, that is not, I mean, I'll try to work it out. But if my husband is insistent he won't stop, then I don't think it's nothing, it's me not being Christ-like because I am fed up and I've got enough. God don't want us to be punching bags. He didn't say we have to do that. So, no, I don't share.
Okay. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Lady Love, let me bring you back in just for a second. Here's another scenario. We've got a few of them we got to get to before being Christ-like. Okay, now we talk about turn the other cheek. Mama say if they hit you, hit them back. You know, how can we turn the other cheek in today's times? Should we still exercise that to demonstrate that we're Christ-like? Somebody slaps you on the job. Your coworker gets mad at you, and you don't really understand why, just because you didn't agree with them, and your coworker, this female, slaps you upside the head. Should you just turn the other cheek, Lady Love, and forgive her and pray about that, and down the road perhaps you all can become best friends?
Well, Dr. Walker, you know, I have to take a deep breath because if she hit me, I'm going to have to do like Miss Monica and do a lot of praying. But would I hit her back? The answer is no, I would not. And the reason being is because, again, I'm going to keep coming back to this. God gave us wisdom and knowledge. And if I hit her back, now I have to prove that I was not the aggressor. And I don't want to go to jail. So I have to be like Christ, because if we all conduct everything with violence, it's not solving any problems. Everything is done in violence. Where's the love? And to just go back to the husband who's cheating, I have to be like Christ not to shoot him. So because that's what's going to go into my mind, and I'm not going to share. So let's keep it real. I'm going to do a lot of praying. I'm even going to fast because Lord Jesus is going to have to help me. But you know, I would not hit her back. I would look at her and pray to Jesus. She runs. She would have to run. Yes. But could I ever be friends with her? Yes, I could.
Wow.
I could.
That is so deep. That is so deep. Lady C, let me bring you in. We're going to get to our calls tonight. If you all want to, you got a thought or the Holy Spirit is impressing upon your heart to say something about in terms of being Christ-like, we want to hear from you all, because this is information and educational purposes, because I'm learning from all of you all online tonight that it made me think about it, that this perfection role or striving for that is a journey. And so, Lady C, I got to bring you in here and ask the question, you know, along the same lines, turning that other cheek. So I just want to go to the, help me, Holy Ghost, here. I just want to visit the Civil Rights Movement back in the 60s, you know, before the Civil Rights Act came into play, 1964. And I'm going to look and say, when they were putting water holes on our people and seeking dogs on us, and all we were doing was a peaceful march, turning the other cheek, as Martin Luther King studied up under Mahatma Gandhi, you know, about peace. Was that being Christ-like? And if so, what has that gotten us today, in your opinion?
Well, you know, that is, you know, since that's way before my time, you know, I can't really express how that was being Christ-like, because a lot of them were humble according to, you know, the things that I read throughout history and,
right.
you know, movies I've seen. A lot of them was humble. Like, you know,
right.
Rosa Parks was humble when she was sitting on the back of that bus until one day she said, no, I'm not sitting on the back of the bus anymore. I'm sitting in the front. You know, she
right.
ended up going to jail for it, but she remained humble. She didn't fight.
Okay.
She remained humble, you know.
Right.
So I think that was more Christ-like, you know. And
wow.
sometimes, you know, I'm a believer in it. Sometimes we have to make a stand for certain things to change in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in
I
back
agree.
In the day when they did all of those things, it was for us to be free. And now we are free. We are
okay.
free to use those bathrooms. We are free to sit on that bus. We are free to drink out of the fountains of, you know, Caucasians, you know?
Right.
So to
right.
me, I believe they were Christ-like, and I believe they were humble.
Wow.
Some of them
wow.
were humble.
Okay, there's a yeah. scripture. Monica, we want to bring that scripture in momentarily, but we're going to first go to someone else, that the meek shall inherit the earth. And we want to find out what that really means. Give us an interpretation on that. The meek shall inherit the earth, and what does that mean? Tonight we're talking about, do we often or ever need reminders of being Christ-like? What does that mean? Pastor Howard, I want to bring you back in, and I want to ask this question now. We switch to another one. During church services over the weekend, after church, I'm ready to kind of party and, like, get my groove on, okay? Like, you know, it's like, but during church, I want to be, oh, you know, Brother Walker, Elder Walker, or Pastor Walker. I want to be so holy. And, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that this is my life, you all. I'm just giving it as an example. You know, we want to be, God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. Oh, praise the Lord. But then when church is over that evening, I'm ready to kind of hop to the club. Is that being Christ-like? And then even going to the club, would that keep you out of heaven? Is there anything wrong with clubbing? Pastor Howard, your thoughts.
Listen, we are pressing. And there are people that are pressing toward.
Okay.
They haven't perfected. And some of them are maybe still partying and still going to church because they were brought up like that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this can go so many ways. And then you got some that go to church, they go to church, but they desire to be in the club
okay.
and go to church. But then you have some that just sit out, you know, but they want to come
okay.
to church. So it's pretty wide, yeah, but no, if you are in church, this is a lifestyle. Christ, living for Christ is a lifestyle. When he said, come, follow me, it was to learn of him. It was to begin to know who you're following because he expects you to be like him. So the things that he was going to teach you is going to be different from the things that you can find elsewhere.
So, Pastor Howard, is there anything...
Individual has to come to themselves and say, are they going to make Christ their life? Are they going to do this for real? Or are they going to play with it?
Okay. So,
no man
Pastor
can serve
Howard,
two masters.
So you're saying play with it. So does that mean if we're judging them, if they go to the club and they don't come to church, or if they go to the, what is it?
It's not play with who? Play with, no, it's not playing. Individual have to come to terms and serve him in spirit and in truth. If there first
right.
be a willing mind to give your life to Christ, then you have to do the things to walk that way, therein, the way.
Okay. So is that, let me just ask you this, and I'm just asking, are those man standards, is there anything, will going to the club keep you out of heaven, you know, being Christ-like? Is that not being Christ-like? Because the Bible didn't talk about clubs at all. They probably didn't recognize it as clubs or pubs or anything along those lines. So for someone to want to get their, let's call it their groove on, just by dancing and having a drink, is that so wrong? When, in fact, I mean, it took me years to, to learn the electric slide at just a house party or something. So, you know, but then after church, at the nighttime, if somebody's having a house party, you know, am I any different from the person who went to the club and did the electric slide? I'm just wondering here. Pastor, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Lady C, let me bring you in, and then Deborah, we're going to come to you. What are your thoughts on that, Lady C?
Okay. Now, I have a lot of thoughts on this one here, only because, you know, I believe it is judging. You know, it is judging the people that goes to the club. It is judging the people that want to drink. Because, you know, the Bible says, you know, a drunken man won't enter into the gates of heaven. It didn't say you can't drink because, you know, in the Bible, they drink wine. You know,
right.
I'm a believer in, you know, if someone want to go to that club, go to the club. I mean, God can use anybody. So that means there could be somebody in that club is about to commit suicide. And God just sent that one person in that club to talk to that person out of committing that killing themselves.
Right.
You know? So
right.
I believe in you live your life the way you want to live it. But like I said earlier, you have your alignment with God. I mean, I can't judge somebody in a club because they're having fun. Everybody
right.
in the Bible who God favored most were not, I mean, they were literally, we would have called them all straight sinners today, you know? I mean, we would have looked at Peter and been like, Peter, look at your filthy mouth. Like, you are not
uh-huh.
saved, you know?
Right.
We would have looked at a lot of people and just said things, you know, that they did in the Bible. So, no, I think it's pretty much judging the ones in the club. Like me, I don't judge them. I don't judge those folks in the club because that's
right,
them
right.
living their life. When they're ready, just like the lady said, you know, when they're ready to come to Christ, they have to be willing to come to Christ and allow God to direct their path, allow God to change their mindset on what He wants for them.
Right. So, thank you, Lady Steve. Deborah, let me bring you in. Deborah, I'm piggybacking off of that. So now, Deborah, is there any difference with me partying at somebody's house doing the electric slide or some of the other more modern dances than the person who went to the club to have fun as well? And then is it fair for other people to judge me? Is that being Christ-like?
Now, I can just speak for me, okay? Because I just believe to whom much is given, much is required. And God may not require the same thing of you that He requires of me. Clubbing is just I used to, what you say, living for the weekend, and I did that. And that means I was in the club on the weekend. That's what I did. So when I came over on the other side of Christ, that which I did, I can't do anymore. And not saying I won't ever go to a club, but just that's just my routine, my weekly routine. I can't do it. I think the Holy Spirit would convict me. And a couple of years ago, my baby sister had her, you know, she got together with friends, and of course, we her sister. She invited us, and it was this older club, you know, where they do line dance. It was the, you know, the people age, the older crowd. I did go, and I felt so uncomfortable and out of place because it's just not something that I generally will do. But I do line dance. I go into a party from the cruises. We line dance.
And I understand this. Right. You know,
I don't, but I think if you're Christ-like and trying to be Christ-like, then that can't be a routine. Man, it's weekend or after church, I'm going to the club. See, that can't, you can't, to me, that's not, you
uh-huh.
can, I don't know. That's just me.
But,
I couldn't do it. So somebody
right,
else can.
Okay.
I mean, I can't do it.
Right. Okay, so here's where I'm going with this here. Do we pick and choose what we want to do? Do we pick and choose to justify our own behaviors or actions, you know, but yet we're willing to, I'm just asking here you all now, but yet we're willing to judge somebody else who may not be at the point of where we are, and where we are may be only at that point because someone else told us that it was wrong or that you shouldn't be in a club or you shouldn't be doing this or doing that. I'm just asking you all. You know, I'm just asking. So let me, and we're not trying to sway anybody. This program is basically about education and information and seeking God, you know, for ourselves personally and allowing him to lead us in spirit and in truth. And so, Monica, let me bring you in. Lady Love, we're going to follow by bringing you in. Monica, let me bring you in. If you do the line or the electric slide, and I love doing the electric slide, then, I mean, it's like, is that Christ-like in your opinion?
Well, Dr. Walker, I can't do any electric slide. I've never tried to do it. There are many other dances that I've done because I love to dance. But you know, the
okay.
Word of God is my guide. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So when you are trying to be Christ-like, there are just certain things that you have to get rid of. You have to stop doing. One of the reasons why I love this program, because it really benefits me in so many aspects of my life, especially spiritually. I realize I cannot judge because we are also told, judge not. But the meek shall inherit the earth. And I am seeking to be like my follower who is Christ. And he was very meek and lowly. He was very also obedient. And this is something we should be striving for, to be more obedient, to not doing what we want to do, but what he asked us to do, all of what he asked us to do.
Okay. All right. We're going to actually stand by just there. We're almost out of time, y'all. We got about 12 minutes before we started to bring the show to a close. It goes so fast. Lady Love, I got to bring you in. I'm going to try to get through these scenarios because we have a new topic next week. Being your brother, when they talk about being your brother's keeper, Lady Love, you know, sometimes people look and they say, well, you find that your sister is in need of something. Like a man may just come to you and it's like, you know, or a sister in the church, she's got 4 kids and they're not looking as clean and neat for church service as some of the other kids are because you don't know that woman's story. And the kids may not be smelling as nice. And yet you come to find out that she's lost her job. Her husband, you know, walked out and left them. And they haven't eaten in a couple of days. Now, when you talk about your brother's keeper, how about the people who say, well, I'm going to pray for you, my sister. Does that woman need, is that being Christ-like that you're going to, this woman has no money. Her children haven't eaten in 2 days. She's at the church, Lady Love. And, you know, she's humiliated because she's got to let people know she doesn't have, but she's trying to keep her children in church. But she doesn't have, don't even know where she's going to get a meal. And just so happened the church is not even serving food that day. So, Lady Love, do you just say, well, my sister, or do you gossip over there? Not you per se, but people. Do they gossip? Them children stink. You know, what's wrong with her? She didn't even do her hair. What's wrong with her? She must be on something. Why would she bring the children to church looking like that? Lady Love, is that being Christ-like? And even say, well, I'm just going to pray for her. The group of women get together, I'm just going to pray for her. Child, please, I ain't riding her in my car. Lady Love, talk to me.
Well, no, Dr. Walker, that's not being Christ-like. And when they're talking about the woman, that's just shameful. It's shameful on the church. It's shameful on the women talking about this woman. But I'm a little upset because you gave Monica the good one about the club. I was ready for the club, see, and you gave me the easy one. That wasn't right. But
okay.
I'm going to have to be Christ-like and forgive you.
okay.
No, but it is good to pray for her because, you know, church and pray for those women who were being so sinful and not really being understanding and helping the woman out. So we pray for all of them. But, man, that wasn't right. You gave her the good one.
Mm. Okay, go with the club. What about you at the club? I mean, are you going to do the electric slide or line dance or any of these other modern dances? I mean, are you going to judge me because I do them? Huh?
Okay, so you just made it up. So I'm going to the club. I'm letting everybody know. I'm going to bring Jesus with me to the club, and I'm going to do the electric slide. Because if we go to a wedding, aren't we doing the same thing?
That's what I'm asking.
Think
yeah.
about it, people. Think about it. Because you're going to a wedding, there's people drinking, they're dancing, they're having a good time, and it's the same thing. And if you're doing it in the club, the same thing. And which one better than the other?
That's what I'm asking. Lady C, let me bring you in. Give us a quick thought on that because we got some more scenarios. What's your thought on that? How do you feel about that?
On which one?
On the club thing,
the club.
You know, with the club part.
Oh, I'm with the last person, even though I just had already answered the question on the club. I'm with the last lady. You know, there's no difference. You know, if I'm going to a party, if I'm going to a cookout, if I'm going to a club, you know, it's all the same. You're dancing.
Okay.
You're having a good time. So it's really not, it's really not a thing. You're having a good time.
Okay,
you know?
So let's speak to the issue now about the church. We're running out of time, you all. Speak quickly about the issue of the church.
I feel like with the church, I feel like, you know, me and my opinion, I'm not going to talk about the person. First off, I'm getting a group of ladies together. I'm going to figure out, hey, what can we do to help? Do you got some bread?
Right.
Do you got some candies?
Mm-hmm.
Do you got some meat? We're going to come
right.
in together and help that person. Because why sit there and talk about her when we can help her? Because we're wasting their energy on the wrong thing. And that's not being Christ-like if you don't even bother to help. Because I know you got some peanut butter and some bread in your cabinet, you know? And I know some. We keep extra deodorant, we keep soap. We come together, bring that sister in, you know, her and her children.
You see, and I love what you all are saying because that to me is women's ministry. That to me is being Christ-like. That to me is what church is all about. It's not congregating to talk about someone who their children are smelling. Something's going on. Something's going on. And the real Christ-like people, in my opinion here, I agree with you all, is getting together and what you all have just said, you're getting together and find out what we can do. And you know what? I believe, and women, I'm putting this all on you all, this world would be a whole lot better if the women would take a stand, even against men, with certain things. They would stand together and unify. This world would even be a whole lot better because women are the, and this is my opinion, men, I don't mean any disrespect, I'm one of you all, but the fact of the matter is, women are the most powerful beings on this planet, and probably, and I'm going to say this real low so the men don't be too mad, and the most intelligent. You all think faster than we do, and I think God gave you all the advantage. That's just my opinion. I'm not going to say it loud because I don't want to make nobody mad. So, but the thing is, you know, coming together like that, and even if it's a brother in the church that's hurting, then, you know, it's not Christ-like to stand over there and talk about him. It's to come together and do something about it. We got to move on quickly, you all. We only have about 6 minutes. Another scenario here. We're going to bring Pastor Howard. We're going to bring you in on this one. I think she's may have left us. And let's bring you in on this one here. Just quickly, you all. Someone dropped a $20 bill. You saw them. Now, you know, you don't have any money. You need gas in your car. You're just coming out of church. You saw who dropped the $20 bill. It was a $20 bill. And you're like, you decide to keep it because you need gas. You don't even have enough gas to make it home. And so what do you do? What's being Christ-like? And I know we're going to say, well, we're just supposed to give it to them. But you don't have any gas in your car. And then let's put the scenario where you got a couple of kids and they need some food and they're getting on your nerves because they're hungry. What do you do, Ann?
I believe that you do... I would try to look for the person, regardless of what my circumstances were. I'm going to look for the person and try to return their money to them because I'm thinking beyond the $20. And for me, I know that God blesses in so many different ways. You may think
At that time, you don't have anything. At that time, yeah, he's blessed you in so many ways. But at that time, you don't have any money. Your children are hungry.
Right.
And you need gas to make it home.
Right, but it's not my $20.
And, okay, so you will give it back. Okay.
Yeah, I could block my blessing because the blessing may be coming from some other direction. It may be that I return that $20 to that person who dropped it, and they say, oh, thank you, but just for that, I'm going to bless you with $100. Or
okay.
Something in the train of events causes you
all
to get a great blessing because you did what you knew was the right thing.
All right, Deborah, let me bring you in on this next scenario, and we're almost out of time, you all, and I want to try to get to at least three or four more scenarios. Deborah, just quickly here.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the scenario. You don't have you got seven kids. You don't have any food in the house. There's nobody really helping you out. You're trying to be a Christian woman. The children haven't eaten in 3 days. Now there's an option. One of the kids say, "Mama, why can't we just go to a restaurant and eat? And we'll worry about the consequences afterwards." And that's a good idea. Deborah, what do you do in terms of being Christ-like with that suggestion that your kid offered?
Oh, no. I just think that my faith is that God is just going to provide. I mean, I'm just not going to go because all of us will be locked up. But and I'm just not going to take the chance with me and my children being locked up. Like, I just wouldn't. That's just me. I wouldn't. But I do want to make one comment about the church thing, because that's an easy one. If the women, I think most women in the church is going to get together and take care of that woman and her children. I think that's the easy one. But one thing that is hard for us, and this happens actually in the church, is when we see somebody who's, we feel that's inappropriately dressed. Like,
right.
We see women who have, you can see where they underwear start and stop. Or, the tatas are all hanging out and about to bust the loose. What do we do? And I know most of us have sit like that and say, you know what? Now, she knew how that looked when she walked to the door. So what do you do? You don't want to offend, or what do you do? So I think that's a scenario where most of us sit there and shake our heads and really don't say anything.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. And I think you're right, other than people get congregated and start to gossip. I want to go to this next one. Lady Love, just quickly here, I want to bring you in on that same one, the $20 bill. Someone dropped, you don't have any, let's go with the one where the children are hungry. Because I'm thinking that if my child made that suggestion, I'm probably going to go to the restaurant and eat. They're not going to lock the children up if they're underage. They're going to go after the parent. So they probably come at me, but I'd offer to wash dishes. If my children haven't eaten, somebody's going to feed us. So I got to ask you, let's bring in Lady Love. What are you going to do? The children are hungry. They're crying. Their noses are running. What are you going to do? Lady Love, we can't hear you. Let's go to Lady C. Let's bring you in. Same scenario. The children are hungry. What are you going to do?
I'm giving back the $20. I'm giving it back because it's not my money. You know?
Right.
It's not mine. Because stealing is stealing. You know? And if I see that $20, I'm giving it to that person because you know why? That person might even look at me and give me back the money. Or it could be God saying, you know what, let me test you. You know?
Right.
So now,
absolutely.
Yeah, you'll be God testing me. So now I gave that person that $20. Who's to say that person will turn around and say, you know what, you keep the money. You keep it.
Right.
I don't even need it. Your kindness is what is going to allow me to keep give you this money. And I might end up getting more money than that. So
absolutely.
I'll give the money back.
Let's switch to another scenario quickly here, and then Lady Love, we're going to give you the final word because we're less than 1 minute away. And Lady C, right now, forget about the $20 bill. Your children are hungry at home, and they haven't eaten in 3 days. And one of your children, maybe 11 years old, says, "Mama, why can't we just go to a restaurant and eat, and then we worry about the bill later? You have no money, and the children are hungry. What do you do? What do you
I'm
do,
not,
Lady
I'm
C?
I'm not taking them. I'm not going to take them to the restaurant. I will go door knocking. You know, I'll go knock on some doors. My neighbors might be able to get, I mean, my neighbors going to give me something, you know,
okay.
for my children. I'm going to just tell them my situation.
Right, right. Okay, all right. And you know what? I believe that that is Christ-like. When we can, when it takes a village, when we can go back to those days where we could call on our neighbors, because the church is not just a building, the church is in our heart. That's the temple of God, resides in us. And if we can go back to those days, then we are showing that we can be Christ-like. Lady Love, are you there? Perhaps
yes,
you have
can
us
you
on
hear
mute.
Me?
We can hear you
can
loud
you
and clear
me?
Now. Lady Love, we're out of time. Give us the final thought on, do we need often or do we ever need reminders of being Christ-like? Give us a final word.
Yes, Dr. Walker. 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Yes. Let's be Christ-like. Thank you, everybody.
All right, listen, we're out of time. Join us back here next Thursday now for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. If you choose to bypass next Thursday, join us back here next Friday for your one-hour inspiration program. And also, I want to say to you all, before I forget, just some housekeeping. We're doing some special things for the Christmas holiday. Lady Love, if I forget anything, just chime in. We've got some special things that we're doing. We just gave away vouchers, turkey vouchers, with the FLAM radio station up here in Port St. Lucie, and we're doing some special things for the Christmas holiday, and we're going to be doing things throughout the year. We're giving back. And Pastor Howard, who was on our program tonight, she's the organization, her ministry is what collaborated with my organization to give away those vouchers. 2 years ago, we gave away over 50 turkeys to the Liberty City community back in South Florida. And so we're going to be doing something all the time. And stay tuned. Next week, we're going to have an email address for you all to tune into. It will be drjessewalker.com/subscribe or project. But we'll give you more information about that on next week. Lady Love, is there anything else that I may have left out on one of the projects that we're doing upcoming for the holidays?
No, Dr. Walker. The Heart of Christmas is the main project. Thank you.
The Heart of Christmas, and that's our theme for this year, the Heart of Christmas. Listen, we're out of time. I want to thank all of you all for joining us tonight, all of my co-hosts for being with us tonight, and we welcome our new co-host, Lady C, for bringing an outstanding contribution tonight with us as well. We're looking forward to her continued contributions in the weeks ahead. Listen, join us once again next week and then next Saturday. We're 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. when we're having the Miracle Prayer Day. I believe it's the Miracle Prayer Day. All right, listen, we're out of time. I want to thank my listening audience around the world. Good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. I love you, Lady Love. Love you, Lady C.
Love you, Monica. Thank you. Welcome, Lady C. Good night.